Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the San Francisco 49ers Extra Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono.
You don't have anything. You can't escape. Take the sack, live to play another down, and move on.
49ers Extra is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play, in the home of the 2020 PGA Championship. Coming up, we'll talk to Steve about the 49ers win over the Rams that puts the 49ers at 5-0 on the season. But first, I want to tell you about our favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. Live in San Francisco and love to play golf? Visit TPC Harding Park and purchase your 2-year resident card, giving you immediate savings on golf and other programs at the park. Cut your green fees in half by purchasing your card today. Visit www.tpc.com/Harding Park for more information.
The way they battled all day, you know, that first drive, you know, I haven't been a part of many first drives where you see the team run it 8 times in a row, just right down your throat. And they only ended up with 7, right? For that to be it, I mean, that's the way the guys recovered after that. I mean, that was a hell of a deal. They kept battling. You guys know we went in with some guys down, which was a huge challenge. But, you know, losing Tevin for at times in that game, Breida, Debo, Marquise, you know, there was a lot. We had to use everyone, and the guys toughed it out. And it makes it a lot easier when our defense plays that way. You know, them going 0-9 on third down, 0-4 on fourth down. We play very good defense.
That's 49ers head coach Kyle Shanahan, and we're talking here about the 49ers win over the Rams. And Steve, it really did come down to great defense for the 49ers after that first drive, which was kind of surprising because it looked like, you watched that first drive, the way the Rams ran the ball, it looked like they could do that all day, but it looked like the 49ers made a big adjustment.
Yeah, I agree, it did look like that. And I, you know, watching that first drive, and I thought, maybe they figured out something about the Niners defense that, you know, with Buckner and Armstead in the middle, that they can, you know, that they can run the ball better than they can throw the ball. And I'm thinking, okay, you got to get Sully in there. You got to get Ronald Blair in there. You got to get Jones in there, you know, guys who are more kind of two gap players, you know, taking up two to allow linebackers to make tackles. But we figured it out after the first drive, spotted them 7 and made them look like they weren't even there after that.
Yeah, I mean, their offense couldn't do much of anything. When you think about Jared Goff throwing for 78 yards, that is amazing after, how many passes he was throwing, how many yards he was throwing for. In the last few games, I know they lost a couple of games there doing that, but man, you just don't think of the Rams throwing for that many yards, only 78.
No, you're right. And to hold one, to hold two guys in a row, Goff and the week before with Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
I think he only threw for 90, right?
He was under 100, right?
Yeah. But the stat that they showed in the beginning of the game on the television was Goff had thrown, he had thrown for almost 1,300 yards, 1,200 yards.
Something like that in the previous two games,
In the two games, and he was 70%, I think it was, they showed. They were staggering numbers. But one of those games was the Tampa game, correct, where they gave up 55, where the Rams defense gave up 55.
Yeah, so he had to constantly throw in that game, yeah.
So, yeah. Well, which is never a good thing. You still have to be able to run the ball to win in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, and they only totaled 165 yards. That's it, the whole total of the game.
Amazing.
Yeah, that defense is amazing, especially against the Sean McVay coach team, because they normally put up big numbers. And what Kyle Shanahan mentioned about 0-for-13 on third and fourth down, that was huge.
Yeah, that's a telling stat. You couldn't maintain a drive, so you were never on the field. I mean, I'm looking at the stats. Let's see. Yeah, 38, almost 39 minutes to 21 minutes.
It's amazing. Yeah, that's amazing.
I mean, they almost doubled it. And Yeah, I mean, that's the simple answer. I mean, 0 for 13, and we were 9 for 18 on third and fourth down.
That's a huge difference.
50%. Kyle's dad always said, we make 50%, we win a lot of games.
Yeah. they had a stat on that, actually, that the 49ers holding them to 0 for on third and fourth. Last time the 49ers did that was 1988. That they held an opponent to it, you know, an 0-for on third and fourth down. So that's amazing right there. I thought a lot of the key, Steve, was the fact that a lot of those 50-50 balls that got through, the 49ers stopped. I mean, Jimmy Ward had a great game, the way he was breaking up passes.
Sure did.
Yeah.
He sure did. Played really well. And I mean, and it makes it makes life a little bit easier for those guys in the secondary that front four is getting after people.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I mean, the stars of the game are all, like, defensive guys, like D. Ford. You know, he had one and a half sacks. And Armstead, you know, the way he's rushing and the passer and, you know, just making all kinds of plays. And there are all kinds of heroes. Solomon Thomas, that sack. I mean, he just came in there blasting in on Goff to get that sack.
Yeah, just ripped right through that guy. And, yeah, I mean, that was a nice – that was a great sack, but it was a really good move against that guy to get himself on the edge of that guard that was trying to block him. And that's where – you know, that's where Solomon's strength is in there.
Yeah, so, you know, the defense is playing great. The offense
–
the offense, I mean, it wasn't, you know, bad, but it was one of those things where, I don't know, Steve, I felt the whole time that – they could have definitely put the dagger in a couple of times there where they didn't. You know, they played well enough to win, but a couple of times where they could have, you know, put the dagger in, especially that interception. I wanted to talk about that interception in the second quarter because that one, it was weird. Jimmy definitely shouldn't have thrown that ball on third and goal there, but it was also, I don't know how often you see a play like that where you got two receivers really in the same spot. Do you think there was a mistake made there?
Well, I don't know. I would love to see that one with Kyle and see, like, okay, yes, bottom line is Jimmy should not have thrown that ball. Did it get defended so that it, you know, you can't really see that somebody get bumped. Like, was that Samuels that was out there with him, I think?
Yeah, it was. It was Samuels. He looked like he was out in the flat, and Jimmy didn't throw it to him. Then he ran to the corner.
Yeah, so I don't know if it was kind of if the defense defended it and it ended up like that, or was it kind of an ill-conceived play? It looked to me a little bit like it was like Samuels was going to the flat, but was going to pivot and come back underneath, is my guess, just by what Kittle was doing.
Uh-huh.
You know, because Kittle was taking that angle to the corner, and it seemed to me like Samuels, like I said in the beginning, got bumped off of his route because – I thought right away, like on the replay, right away, if Jimmy gives it to Samuels, he's got a chance. And I think he could have gotten it to him. But what makes me think that he got bumped off is that Garoppolo hesitated. You know, it didn't look right from the get-go, and he shouldn't have thrown it.
And then he just throws up a fade up there, and that's just up for
just
grabs.
Throw it
right?
away.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's having one of those a game where he just, you know, wigs out and tries to stick one in that's not going to happen.
Yeah, and third and goal there. I mean, you know, you can get a field goal. Yeah, you just kind of throw up a fade there. It just was too dangerous, right?
Yeah. And you know, it kind of happened. Things are going really well, and you think, okay, I can just put one up there, you know. He doesn't have to make a play with his arm.
Yeah, I'm sure they're looking at that this week and saying, "Let's not do that again," right?
You know, Lynn Styles used to always say to me, "There's always somebody open." Like, well, yeah, that's true, but the hard part is you got to try and find them. in 2.7 seconds.
Right, but what you said was the hard part, I think, is mentally to say, I'm just throwing this away. We're going to settle
for
a field goal.
That's the hard part, because things are going really good for you. I mean, everybody's making plays, and then you know, that might have been a game-planned play to really beat something that the Rams do or do not do, and you haven't seen it enough times, and it gets disrupted from the start, and you want it to work, so you end up throwing it up there trying to make a play when somebody's not open.
Yeah.
So I get what happened. But he's just got to learn that. You got to throw it away, and you know, unfortunately, I've done the same thing too many times.
Yeah,
I did the same thing too many times.
Well, every quarterback goes through it, I'm sure. Yeah.
Well, you get these game plan plays that are going to be, you know, big plays or touchdowns, and you want them to work, and you just haven't processed it enough. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You don't know the good and the bad about the play yet, because you just haven't run it enough.
We also have to get over it. That's the thing I think Jimmy G does really well. If he makes a mistake, he gets over it. Or if his receiver, like Marquise Goodwin, drops a touchdown. And on that one, I'm curious to hear what you thought, because if he threw it a little bit further, I don't know that he drops it. I think he dropped it because he felt like he was coming back to it a little and the defender was there. But still, you can't drop that. You cannot drop it. But
drop that one.
But
sorry.
How do you get over that as a quarterback, too?
Those don't, at least for me, those didn't bother me as much as, you know, obviously an interception or a bad read.
Yeah.
That happens. If that ball is 1 yard further, Marquise, he catches that ball in full stride going 20 miles per hour.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, if it's just a little bit further.
And you don't want to overthrow him.
Then you're really bummed out. Then
you're really bummed out, but you almost can't overthrow him.
Yeah, because he's so fast. Because
he's so fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. But bottom line is, you got to catch it. It's like the Aaron Rodgers throw last night to the running back going down the middle. I mean, I don't know if you saw the game last night, but
I saw the interception that went off the guy's helmet.
Number 33, the running back for the Packers. They release him. They get him down the middle on an all go out of red formation, which was really great. And Rodgers sticks it right on him, but he's running full speed and he tries to turn back for it, like instead of thumbs being out, catching the ball, you know, over your left shoulder, he tries to kind of turn back and high point it when he doesn't have to, and he drops it.
Jeez.
But it's a wide open touchdown. It was a well-conceived play and well-executed other than making the catch.
Well, Tevin Coleman did the same thing. Remember, he kind of adjusted a little, and then he dropped one. Yeah. He was wide open, too.
Exactly. Yeah. And that ball for Tevin, I actually thought it was a great throw by Jimmy G, because he gave it enough air and he allowed Tevin to readjust, because if Jimmy sticks it on him on his back shoulder, you know, like on his back right shoulder, he's going to catch it, but he's going to go out of bounds for like a 1 yard gain.
Right. So he lofted it up there.
Where he lofted it and allowed Tevin to get his body going upfield. But he just didn't adjust himself enough. And that's where, you know, Homer used to tell us you gotta put a Brody handle on it.
Yeah.
You just basically it's a running back. It's gotta be perfect.
Well, those were a couple, that you felt like the 49ers could have put more points on the board.
Oh, no question. Yeah. You know, those are a couple of the plays, just, you know, where you felt like they could have nailed it shut sooner.
And then here's the other thing. When you're trying to put the game away, you don't want to get sloppy. And I don't know if this is sloppy. You could tell me, Steve. What did you think about, you know, Garoppolo gets sacked, but he fumbles. And that's where you got to be really careful with a football. You're at the Rams 40. You got about 9 minutes to go. You're up 20-7, and he fumbles on that. I mean, I understand it's not easy. You're in traffic there. But you got to figure out a way to be a little more careful, I think.
Yeah. I like that he's, because we've talked about it a lot, I like that he was trying to get up in the pocket. You just have to have two monster hands on it, and you know it's about moving it, you know, moving it around, keeping it in close to your body, and moving it around while you're shuffling up in that traffic. But hey, every once in a while, you know, one of those big calls on the defensive line gets you. You need to be careful with it, but that just happens. I liked what he was doing, climbing in the pocket.
You got to give a lot of credit, too, to the backups that are playing pretty well. I mean, Justin School and Daniel Brunskill, nobody expected them to be playing, but there they are because of the injuries, McGlinchey and Staley out, and Kyle Juszczyk is out, and you know, you've got Ross Dwelly starting, really, you know, being a fullback, even though he's a tight end. So these guys filled in really nicely, it seems like.
They did, and they used the tight ends, you know, as that kind of H-back, fullback guy. I mean, even Kittle's lining up behind the quarterback as a fullback and, you know, making blocks on you know, a power play, you know. They all did a really good job, and then Tuolo. I mean, he gets a catch. You know, really good. I mean, that's got to be his first catch this year.
I think it was. Yeah.
I mean, you know, he's blocking. Realizes Jimmy's in trouble, and he just checks out like perfect. I mean, you know, as Aaron Rodgers said in the post game last night. That's, you know, that's guys getting their opportunity and are fully prepared when they get their opportunity. You know, you can see their study habits, their work habits, and when they get an opportunity, they're fully prepared and they take advantage of it.
Meanwhile, your old standby, George Kittle, I mean, this guy continues to prove what a gamer he is. I mean, he had a groin issue, and he's still playing that hard, you know, breaking tackles the way he did on that one catch and run.
Stiff-arming people. Yeah. Head-butting people. He is really fun to watch. Twisting, turning, making people miss. I mean, the whole thing.
Yeah.
He's fun to watch.
He's amazing, really. I mean.
Yeah.
And you know you can count on him. That's the thing, and that's what you want, is somebody that you can count on like that.
When you have a tight end like that, it makes the passing game so much better. You know, you've got to protect. You have to protect the middle. You have to have somebody that can. If you're going to play man, you have to have a linebacker or a strong safety that can. That can cover man, you know, cover a tight end, and that's not easy when someone runs that well and catches the ball that well. So it just makes the passing game so much better.
Yeah, they can't afford to have him out, that's for sure.
No. But those two tackles were wonderful. I mean, that's fun to watch. That's when you know you're a good team, when you know next guy out, and everybody, doesn't matter if the guy's a starter or not, everybody on team's expecting him to get the job done. When you have that kind of system, that expectation in play, you know, you've got a good team.
We'll have more with former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono right after this. 49ers fans from outside the Bay Area, listen up. TPC Harding Park has a great deal for you when you are planning your trip to Levi's Stadium to see the 49ers. While you're in town, take advantage of Golf the Gridiron, featuring discounted tee times and free club rentals. Visit TPC.com and click on Special Offers for tee time deals at San Francisco's own TPC Harding Park. Getting back to the defense, what a team effort. And let's hear what Robert Saleh, the defensive coordinator, had to say about the goal line stand.
That goal line stop, I look at it as a turnover. You completely swing momentum, and those guys, for them, the grit and the fight that those guys have to be able to stand up there, get that push, it just goes to show the will of this football team, where they had the same situation and our guys were able to push on a quarterback sneak to get that touchdown, where we were able to push to keep them out of the end zone. It's just right now our guys have a great mindset.
That's a great point, because Jimmy G scores from the 1 yard line, but the Rams couldn't score there at the goal line. And I guess that really brings a team together, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, and just, watching Saleh on the sideline during the game, they kept showing him on the broadcast. I mean, his excitement, his enthusiasm. I mean, and those guys don't want to let him down. He's working hard to put them in the right places, and he's doing one hell of a job right now. And I thought his scheme was good last year. And I know we talked about early in the season that this defense was going to be good. I mean, four first round picks on the defensive line and a key free agent is not hurting anybody. But again, there's a lot of young linebackers and defensive backs who played a lot last year, and their experience is invaluable right now.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of guys are stepping up. Like a guy like Mosley, I don't think anybody expected him to play that well. Witherspoon goes out. Like you said, next man up. It seems to be working.
Yeah, and that's just that's the mindset that Kyle and John have instilled, and the players, have bought in and are carrying with them, are using. I'm sure every day in practice, because they're using it in the game.
By the way, you mentioned Robert Saleh, just the enthusiasm he had. It was almost like must-watch TV, Every time a defensive play was made, I was making like I was the director. I was like, ready four, take four, whatever, making believe that camera four is on Saleh. They just isolated him. They had replays of him. I mean, he became the star of the game. I mean, that has to help him as far as his future in coaching, right?
I agree. He was really fun to watch. I mean, you felt it. I mean, you felt it through the television. Like, okay, I want to go out and play for him.
No doubt.
Yeah, I mean, he was awesome. You gotta love that excitement and enthusiasm.
So next up, the Washington Redskins, a team that was not able to win until they faced Miami. That's always a good that's a good recipe for success. But now they have Bill Callahan running the team, after they fired Jay Gruden.
Yeah.
You would think you're catching a team at a good time. You're 5-0, but this is where I think you got to watch the trap game, right? As a head coach, you got to build up the other team a little bit somehow, I guess.
East Coast game, 1 o'clock, not as bad as going and playing a 12 o'clock game at Central Time, but you have to come out and, again, like the Monday night game, you got to come out and set the tone from the get-go and never give them a chance, even a sliver of hope. Because otherwise you get a team that's, like you said, they're 1-5 and they start to get a little hope, keep the game close and have some hope late in the game. Then they make a play and they beat you. And so you have to knock them down early.
Yeah, and you know what's weird about the NFL, Steve, too, is like 1 minute you see a team or a player like Adrian Peterson, because I covered that game a couple of weeks ago in Washington. Adrian Peterson couldn't do anything. And then all of a sudden he gets 118 yards. I know it's the Dolphins, yeah. But it's so weird how like 1 minute you can count a team out or a player out, and then the next minute, you know, they're back to what you think that they can do.
Hey, it's the NFL, and the guy on the other side of the ball gets paid also. So, you know, it's why we play the games, and you can't take anybody lightly. But I think George Seifer used to say, come out and punch him in the face first.
Exactly. Well, the way the 49ers can run the ball, they can do that. And the last thing I wanted to ask you about, Steve, was just Jimmy G being 11-2 as a 49er starter, because sometimes there's too much made of being, you know, the starting quarterback and your record and all that. But in this case, I think it really does mean something that he's a winner. He knows how to win, even if he's not having his best game. Like we said, he bounces back from a mistake that he might make. Does it mean a lot to you that he's 11-2? What do you think about that record as a Niner starter?
I think it means a ton. I think they felt like, you know, after a week of him in the locker room when they traded for him, what, almost 2 years ago?
Yeah.
That his personality was infectious, and I think they thought right away that he was a winner. I know we've talked about this, that he came with a came from a winning team. I think they felt like he knew what it took at the time to be a winner. Under the tutelage of Brady and Belichick. I think guys from the get go in the 49er locker room thought he was a winner, and it's obviously showing. I mean, they've got a terrific cast around them. Again, back to, you know, guys playing last year that got a lot of experience, good backups, you know, giving the team depth. You know, all those things are showing, and they're all doing their job, and that makes Jimmy's job easier.
Yeah, and it has been a blast to watch this team so far to be 5-0. Can't wait to see what happens on Sunday in Washington.
Yeah, it'll be fun. I would say they're fun to watch. Obviously, both offensively and defensively. And I think the key is, again, you know, East Coast game, a lot of travel, stay focused and set the tone.
All right, Steve, we'll look forward to talking about it next week. Thanks a lot.
Okay, thanks, Joe.
That's former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono. Join us again next week. We'll talk about the 49ers game in Washington against the Redskins. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to 49ers Extra on thesportsvirus.com.